This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
KYW News Radio and Deborah Heart and Lung Center team up to discuss arrhythmia, diagnosis, treatment, and management. Here's Rasa Kay.
Cardiac electrophysiologist Dr. Rafael Corbizero says you might want to get frequent heart palpitations checked out, but don't freak out right away.
Everybody has skipped beats, whether it's the top or the bottom part of the heart. No one is regular 24/7. What they mean prognostically depends on the patient. A young, healthy patient with a normal heart has some skip beats, premature ventricular contractions that they feel, significance, very little. Bothersome, we may try to help them out. A different patient that has had open heart surgery, has had heart attacks, their scar, those skip beats may carry a very different significance. They might be at risk or worse problems, and we have to evaluate that.
Learn more at DeborahHealthReport.com.
New Jersey's only heart, lung, and vascular specialty hospital, Deborah Heart and Lung Center. When it's your heart, demand Deborah.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
And off we go. The Rob Brown Show is on the radio. It's the Fan Upstay. Hour numero dos gets underway right now. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Rob Brown, the great one, Alonzo, and Ayo. Be a part of the show. 844-326-3663 is the number. 844-FANFONE. That's the number to call the show. That's the number to text the show. If you want to be a part of it, you are certainly welcome to do so. Oscars last night, I made the point, it got brought up during the break on our live stream, facebook.com/TheFanUpstate, The Fan Upstate on YouTube, The Fan Upstate on Twitter, and The Rob Brown Show on Facebook, on YouTube, and Twitch, because we are young, cool, hip, and totally with it. The Oscars brought up last night, and Lonzo said, did anybody A, know, or B, watch? And the answer was no for me. Last year was not a big movie year for me. I went through and looked at the Best Picture nominations. I knew of like two of the movies and did not see any of them. Are we as Americans kind of like done with movies post-COVID, or just done with movies in theaters where we're going to wait for them to come out? Because I've kind of shifted over to the majority of the movies that I want to see, I just wait till they stream, because the wait is not as long as it used to be. It used to be it was in theaters and you had to wait like 10 months till it came out on a DVD. Now it's like you got to wait like 2 months before it's out on streaming. Something's got to really either A, be a Marvel movie, or B, grab me by the throat to get me into a theater.
I would say Dune 2 was nominated for a couple of things. It probably made more money than all the other movies combined.
Here's the movies that were nominated for Best Picture. Anora was the winner. I don't know anything about this movie. I know nothing about it. I know that Cody Decker saw it, and he said it was very good. I don't know anything about it. Amelia Perez. I know more about the Offset drama than I know about the movie itself. I don't know anything about this movie.
Oh, is that the one with Blake Lively and stuff?
No, that was right. Like some weird streaming movie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that wasn't even like in the thing. A Complete Unknown, that's the Bob Dylan movie with Timothée Chalamet. Never saw it. Not against it. I don't understand the Timothée Chalamet love. Like,
you do know it's Shyamala, right?
No, it's Chalamet.
It's Shyamala.
Shyamalama ding dong. I don't know.
Shambhala.
Conclave, know what it's about. Like, didn't really have a huge interest in it. Nickel Boys, no idea. I'm Still Here, no idea. The Substance, no idea. Dune Part 2, didn't know about it. However, still haven't seen Dune Part 1. That's on me. This, that, like, that's a movie that's right up my alley, and I just haven't got around to it.
Shyamala in it.
Never gotten to it. That's got Timothy Chalamet Ding Dong in it, too?
Yeah, and Zendaya.
He was bit. I know her.
Yeah.
I know her. She's Mary Jane, kind of. Wicked, which kind of did want to see. I mean, still do want to see Wicked.
Ariana, man, it's okay to eat a sandwich, okay? It's okay. That kind of skinny is not attractive.
Yeah, but I think she was doing it for another role.
No.
She got extra thin for another role.
Dude.
I don't know what to tell you, man. Hollywood's weird. Do want to see Wicked. Just never got around to it, mainly because it was
it's out on stream. You can.
Yeah, I'm going to sit down and watch it. It was initially.
It's retcon, trying to turn a bad guy into a good guy. You know, it's okay to have a villain, all right?
Isn't it just.
Let the villain be a villain, okay?
Isn't it just the play? Oh, you mean the play is retcon of Wizard of Oz?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't think it's bad.
Yeah, it is. It is.
I know
it's okay.
You think it's bad.
It's okay to have a villain and let them be a villain.
There are plenty of villains. I think it's also. Yeah, I think okay. It's interesting to have an introspective on people's decision making.
So now, when she melts, we should be sad. You can't make me be sad about that. Except for the fact that she can't take a bath. I mean, that's a problem. Because she must be stinking if she'll melt if you throw water on her. I mean, and I don't think they had, whole body deodorant in Oz. Maybe they do.
And here we go, ladies and gentlemen, a complete and total breakdown of the hygienic practices in Munchkinland. And The Brutalist, which I saw commercials for. I don't know what it's about. So I saw zero of the movies nominated for Best Picture.
So you didn't even think about, so you can bet on anything, and I'm guessing there's probably some pretty good money made on the Oscars.
Oh, yeah, but again, much like sports betting, it was like the movie that won it was like minus 275, and it's like, yeah, I don't know if there's value in this, and I haven't seen any of them, so I don't know.
See what I did there? Brought it back around to sports.
Nice job. You know what else we could do to bring it back around to sports? We could do the water cooler cheat sheet, the top three sports stories you need to know before you get to the office, and it starts now. It is the water cooler cheat sheet, the top three sports stories that you need to know before you get to the office and start talking sports with your coworkers this AM. Once Thous does, this is what you will be talking about. Let's dive right in with item number one. The NCAA has not finalized expansion plans for the men's and women's basketball tournaments, and according to NCAA Senior Vice President of Basketball Operations Dan Gavitt, will not do so anytime in the near future, but it probably will down the line. Different conversation that we'll have here in just a minute. Gavitt said he does not expect a vote, quote, in the near future, end quote, though it is theoretically possible with a big enough push that a vote could be made in the late spring that could move next year's college basketball national championship tournaments from 68 to either 72 or 76 teams. That being said, the late spring vote is possible but unlikely. Possible but unrealistic. Still could happen. Probably won't. It's probably going to be down the line. Gavitt said, quote, it's not taken in a lighthearted way at all because of the success of the tournaments and how important they are to college basketball overall. Expansion, even in a modest level, is complex. More complex than I think than has been recognized and reported because it is expensive. This year's March Madness will be the 40th men's bracket since the field expanded to 64 back in 1985. The women's bracket increased to 64 teams in 1994. Gavitt said he isn't sure whether the field should expand, but is more positive about the possibility than he was a few years ago. He said that NIL deals, conference realignment, and the transfer portal have changed the dynamics of college basketball, men's in particular. He said he feels it is suited for expansion. He went on to say, quote, quote, "There is no sport that is deeper overall and has more parity than men's college basketball. There's great basketball played at every level of men's basketball right now, so I think it's important to keep the tournament contemporary and relevant based on what is going on in college athletics," end quote. Yes and no. At the same time, I guess, like, on one hand, he's not wrong. The parity in college basketball is as good as it's been in a very long time. There are more teams than there have been in a very long time. However, are there 76 teams we think are potential national champions? Are there 76? My biggest fear the whole time. And again, I think if there's one guy on your speakers in the upstate that is unafraid of change in sports, give me rubble wumps all the time, it's me. I don't think we need this. I'm down for change in sports to make sports better, but I don't think we need this. We already have 68 teams that are in. No 16s or 15s or 14s or 13s or 12s are winning the national championship. It just doesn't happen. What you do when you expand even further, and I'll be honest with you, I don't even think we need 68. I'm fine with it. 64, I'm fine with it. I think you could drop it down by like 10 or 12 and still be in a good spot. I'm fine with it at 64. I don't think you need to increase it because I do think there is a saturation point, and I think we're right on it. I think there is a point where the first round starts to become not just neutral, not just irrelevant, but it actually starts to become detrimental because while we do love upsets, we love an upset. Again, last year or 2 years ago, whenever it was, I was flying up to New York City on the day that Furman played Virginia. I got off the plane to find out that the Paladins had knocked off the Hoos. And I quite literally, in the airport in New York City, went through, opened up my luggage in the airport to put on my FU hoodie to walk around New York City. I was very proud. I loved it. It was great to be a Den that day. All Den, baby. FU one time. That's exciting. And then they turn around and lost game two. It happens. The smaller school, UMBC, knocks off Virginia when they were a one seed. 16-1 upset. Then they get smoked the next game. The lower seeds aren't winning natties. Now, that's not to say I don't think they should be there or be given a chance, but there comes a point where the risk of your top-tier college basketball teams getting bumped because they had a bad night's sleep on the road in the tournament, and you got a handful of those, and now your tournament is watered down without your biggest contenders being there because they lost a dumb game because you've asked them to play six of them. It de-escalates the tournament. Ignore the crying, because Lonzo doesn't like America's second favorite sporting event, the March Madness tournament.
Oh, no, that was about you. It was about the tournament. That's fine, but I'm right. That was more about you.
That's fine, but I'm right. When you start adding more, you start watering down. That's how dilution works. The more you add, the more you water it down. And I don't think we need it. All right, let's get to item number two. Tessa Johnson scored 16, and the number six South Carolina women's basketball team claimed a share of the SEC regular season championship yesterday with a 78-66 win over number 15 Kentucky. On the road on the same day, number one Texas knocked off Florida 72-46. So, both the Longhorns and the Gamecocks finished the year 15-1 in conference play. They played each other twice in the regular season. Tiebreaker number one, regular season record against each other. The Gamecocks and the Longhorns were 1-1. Each secured a victory over the other, which meant that the tiebreaker process led to a literal coin flip between Texas and South Carolina. Greg Sankey on the SEC Network quite literally awkwardly stared into a camera, pulled out a coin with a Gamecock logo on one side and the Longhorn logo on the other, flipped it, wrapped it on a tan, showed the camera. The South Carolina Gamecocks earned the number. They are awarded via coin flip the number one seed in the SEC tournament.
They still earned it. They had the same record, and that is the noted way of breaking a tie.
Yeah, but you don't earn the result of a coin flip. You earn the right to be in the coin flip, but you don't earn the result of a coin flip. You earn being coin flippable. And they were coin flippable. And there's awkward ass Greg Sankey.
All right, I just saw it didn't look awkward. He flipped that really well, caught it, threw it down. I mean, him having to hold his arm for the camera, that's a little awkward.
It's awkward.
Yeah, but that's
they
not.
They show him and he's like.
That's not his fault. He's doing what they told him to do. The flip and the catch was great.
Of course he did. But what they told him to do was stand there in front of the camera like I was half expecting him to hold up a newspaper to show that it was that day. Like it was like a hostage video. You want to go home and see your family? Flip this coin, Greg. It's just weird. But doesn't matter. Either way, South Carolina earns the number one overall seed in the SEC Women's Basketball Conference Championship Tournament, which takes place this week right here in GVL. Yeah. Gamecocks will get a noon tip on Friday. I will be there to cover that game for you. Make sure you follow me on social media at The Rob Brown Show. Make sure you're following everybody at The Fan Upstate. Let's go to item number three. A three-game series between the Clemson Tiger baseball team and the South Carolina Gamecock baseball team, and all three games end up in favor of the team wearing orange. Back on Friday, a 5-3 win in Clemson. They played a neutral site game Saturday at Fluor Field in downtown Greenville, South Carolina. 5-1 in favor of Los Tigres. And then they wrapped it up yesterday at Founders Park over in Columbia, South Carolina. Justin LeGrenick went four innings, gave up two hits, K'd six. Joe Allen stepped in, went three innings, no hits, one walk, six Ks across nine batters to earn the W. Dylan Eskew was the starting pitcher for South Carolina. Did go six innings, gave up three hits, one earned run, four walks, and seven strikeouts. But he was given the L in this one. South Carolina scattered five hits across nine. Nathan Hall had a couple. Ethan Petrie had a couple. And Jace Wood had one for Clemson. There were eight hits scattered across the game. The middle of the order was about as good as it gets. Cam Cannarella had one. Luke Gaffney had one. Colin Priest had one. Jacob Jarrell had one. Tristan Bissetta had one. And Jaron Purifoy had a pair of them, the only Tiger with a multi-hit day. Colin Priest had three RBIs, which was the primary difference there. It was an 8-2 win in favor of the Tigers. It was a 3-0 series sweep across the Palmetto series, the Reedy River rivalry betwixt the two. Clemson has moved to 10-1. They are inside of the D1 baseball top 25, and I expect after this win that they will jump up probably around number 10 when the next poll comes out. South Carolina was on the outside looking in to start this series, and they will now be further on the outside looking in after this series. The Tigers will have their next game coming up tomorrow. They will play right here in Greenville, South Carolina, when they take on SC Upstate. The Gamecock baseball team will look to get a rebound after getting swept when they take on Davidson tomorrow at home at Founders Park in a midweek showdown. We'll talk more college baseball as the year progresses. We will ask John Blau of the Post and Courier. He covers the Clemson Tigers about this sweep coming up here in about an hour and 20 minutes. The Rob Brown Show. The Great One Lonzo. Yours truly, Rob Brown. Back after this on the Fan Upstate. Texas said, Rob, your water cooler cheat sheet audio is supposed to be bubbles. It sounds like somebody ripping a bong. Yeah, no, we know. We know. We've made the joke about Urban Meyer's friend on a boat before.
Here's the problem.
Still funny.
We compared it before. They don't sound like, to me, it sounds like a water cooler.
I mean, I
went to our wonderful effects department, looked up water cooler, picked the best one, and that was it. You know, if you like, I could play the full clip.
Some tech guy up at the corporate office loaded that up and was like, this is going to be hilarious. Bro, this
no, it doesn't sound. I mean, I've never been in been around, and since I don't do drugs, I don't know other than seeing it on TV. But this, well, if I add it up, does not sound like that. You can hear it. Let's wait till the end, and that's where you've turned the water cooler over. Have you ever changed a water cooler? A lot of people out there have never changed one before. You have to take the lid off, and you have to really quick. Put the thing up, and then the water has to come out of that big old, is it a jug? I guess it's a jug.
Jug's good to me.
And pour down into the apparatus where you get your water out of. It's not really a fountain. I don't know all the technical terminology, but I've had to change the water cooler here before a bunch of long time ago. We had to do it ourselves before we went to whatever the filtering system that we have now.
Texter, I want you to know, I think it's funny.
it's not.
I also have the mind of a child, and I think
it's not. I mean, as someone who listens for a living, it disturbs me that you guys equate that to something that it doesn't sound anything like. It doesn't sound like that at all. Of course, I haven't personally did it before, so maybe when you text her and you, Rob, personally did the thing, maybe it does sound like that.
Kind of does.
Okay. All right. I'm going to disagree, and I'll never find out firsthand.
All right. Let's get to some stuff. I want to talk NFL Combine just a second. I was on Saturday doing Bet for the Cycle and had it on in the background. And we went to a break, and during the break, my lovely wife walked in at one point when – they were doing one of the position groups doing their vertical. You jump up, you hit the little spinny things on the top of a big pole, and you know, that's how they measure how high you jump. And she sat there and she watched it for 15, 20 seconds. I think she watched a guy jump twice or two guys jump once. I don't remember. But she watched a guy or some guys jump real high in the air, hit the little spinny sticks on the pole, and land. And as we were sitting there talking about it, she's like, this is weird to me.
Did you explain to her about how it gauges explosivity? And, you know,
I'm about to.
Okay. All right.
She said, this is weird to me. And I said, why is it weird? And she said, you're just watching dudes jump in the air. And I went, I mean, yeah. And she goes, is this like a competition? And I said, no, it's not a competition. I mean, I guess it is a competition with themselves to set the best number they can set. And she said, okay, but like, do they
But it is a competition between the guys.
I'm sure it is.
Of course you want to be the one who jumped the highest.
Sure it is. It's competition between the guys, competition with themselves, right? Like these guys have a number in their head. Isaiah Bond proved that. He said, I'm running a 4.2. He did not. We're coming to that in a minute. She said, do they get points? Like, does this determine where they're going to go play NFL football? And I said, no, ma'am. This event is for the nerds. This event's for the nerds. This event, the NFL Combine, is, I said on Friday, and I stand by it, probably the third of the big three events on the NFL calendar. It is Super Bowl, draft, and combine. And I would make the argument that the combine, while less exciting, is more important than the NFL draft, because obviously what happens at the combine is how coaches determine who they're going to take on draft day. Now, on Friday, I got into the emotion behind the NFL combine. That emotion being, it is the first day, even though the league new year starts 9 days from now, it is the first day of what I call the fan new year. It is the first day where all of us are optimistic. Because, if you're an NFL fan at all, we have learned over the past handful of years, and I think I'm comfortable saying this now, that the teams that are consistently at the top of the NFL are teams that draft well. The Kansas City Chiefs have been exceptional in the draft the last few years. The Philadelphia Eagles have been exceptional in the draft the last few years. The Buffalo Bills have been very good in the draft the last few years. The Ravens, very good in the draft the last couple of years. You build a core with the draft. You get your biggest needs around your drafted guys via free agency and trade. And I think that that's become obvious. When you look at Philly, when you look at Kansas City, when you look at Buffalo, when you look at Baltimore, when you look at Detroit, that's become obvious to me. So the reason we all got super pumped about the draft is because NFL fans now recognize something that NFL talking heads have said for a very long time. The combine is not to learn who the best football players are. The combine is to figure out the ceiling of these guys. The combine is to figure out what's the best they could be. Nick Emenwori is kind of the poster child of that this year. This is a dude who had very good tape at South Carolina. Very good tape. He's a very versatile defensive back. I can line Nick Emenwori up at the NFL level today, I believe. I can line him up to cover an X. I can line him up to cover a slot. I can line him up to cover with the shade help, a tight end. I can put him over the top in a cover two. I can trust him in a cover three. There's not a spot in the defensive backfield that this guy can't play. However, if you watch his tape from last year, and this is tape season for me, big watch the tape guy. There's a lot to his, I don't want to say a lot, there's a good amount to his game that will need to be polished. He is a good but not great open field tackler. Good but not great. He wants to lay the lumber and will frequently lay the lumber and sacrifice integrity of the tackle to do it, right? He's not crossing the bow, wrapping the arms, driving to the ground. He's putting that arm underneath, loading that shoulder up, and trying to explode into a guy to knock him down. Well, that works at college ball. That works when you're playing Vanderbilt. It's not going to work when you're trying to hit Alvin Kamara out of the backfield. It's not going to work when you load up and try to hit Derrick Henry blasting through the hole. Those guys are going to eat that contact, and they're going to yak daddy their way to a first down, and you're going to be left 3 yards behind laying on the ground with a sore shoulder. You got to learn how to tackle. That's something that needs to be cleaned up. Nick Emenwori is a guy that is very good about predicting a route. Not as good at breaking off of his prediction when a wide receiver throws an adapted route at him, right? Guy that's going to say, all right, back pedal's coming to my side of the football field, and likely what I'm dealing with is an over-under concept. And I know I got a safety, so I'm going to step up to the under. And what happens is that wide receiver sets like he's going to break to the under. He and the quarterback recognize Emenwori is going to step back, bang, curl in behind him. Now I drop a little pass over the top. He's got to work on adjusting on the fly and not playing formulaic defense. These are things that he can work on, though. These are things that can be coached up at the next level. Not necessarily as big of a deal at the college level or at the NFL level. But that's not why we do the combine. We do the combine because this is where I measure the metrics of what are you capable of. So when she walks into the room and I'm oddly watching Cam Scataboo in spandex shorts and a super tight shirt jump up and hit the spinny things on the stick, she goes, why are you watching dudes jump in the air? I'm not watching to see how big his vert is. I'm watching to see what the explosivity in those quads are. Because that's how you determine what the pop in the quads are.
Are you okay?
I think so.
Okay.
I'll let you know in a minute.
You hit that pretty hard.
Hey, man, you throw a super kick, you got to get that sound right.
Okay, all right.
That's what I'm watching for. When I watch Isaiah Bond run the 40, am I looking for him to get his top overall speed, to get his time to see if he gets a 4.2? Yeah, from the entertainment side. From the entertainment side. But he runs a 4.4. And the conversation around him was, he ran a 4.4. He said he was going to run a 4.2. How disappointing. He hurt himself. And I'm sitting there going, I still like this kid. I still draft this kid. You know why? Because there are metrics other than what was your time. And this is where the nerd comes in. Isaiah Bond's 40 time was slower than Xavier Ward's by like 0.2 seconds, which in football time is a very long time. 0.2 seconds in the 40 equates to about 1.5 yards. How much separation is a yard and a half when a guy's running a nine route and he's got a yard and a half on the free safety? A quarterback is drooling on himself if he can have that consistently out of his deep threat, right? So that's a big deal. What I did find interesting, though, was that Isaiah Bond's top speed, not time, top speed, was as fast as Xavier Worthy's was. He didn't get to it as quickly. That's that fast burst. That's that quickness, acceleration versus speed. Acceleration and speed are different measurable vectors. His speed was one of the fastest in the NFL. His acceleration wasn't. He didn't get to his top speed as fast, but once he got there, he was able to outrun everybody in this combine and everybody, almost everybody, except Isaiah Bond in the last few, except Xavier Worthy in the last few. When I try to translate that over to football, what I'm looking at there is not a guy that I'm going, that's my nine route guy. Can be a nine route guy. Can be a guy that if we got to go five wide because we're down four with seven to play and I got to heave one down there, yeah, hey, man, get out there, run it, all right? But there's a reason that I don't think he'll be Xavier Worthy. That reason is the concept of acceleration. I want to know more about the acceleration than I do the top-end speed. Top-end speed's important, but I want to know how fast does this guy get off the football. This is why, to me, you know it's a more important speed than the 40 speed? The 10-yard dash. How fast can you get me first down yardage? Because if you can get it to me in the way Xavier Worthy can get it to me, guess what happens? Now he is as valuable as a 5 and in. An inside slant, a 7 and in route runner as he is a 9 guy. And the Chiefs took full advantage of that last year, right? How many underneath routes did Xavier Worthy convert? Why? Because that acceleration is just faster than everybody. Isaiah Bond, I know he can run a 9 or a 7. Now I know probably not as adept on those inside slants like Worthy is to where he's valuable in that role. That's what the combine's for. All right, we'll take a look at some of the guys in the combine that Carolina might be interested in and the rest of the NFC South later on the show. The Rob Brown Show continues. It's the Fan Upstate.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
At T-Mobile, we'll give you four free 5G phones and four lines for only $25 per line per month with eligible trade-ins. And no, it's not a contest. It's every day for a limited time. Everyone's a winner on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay. Up to $830 off each phone via 24 monthly bill credits plus taxes, fees, and $10 device connection charge. For well qualified customers, contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, I don't even know how to address this. I'll start by saying this. I love Cole Bryson. I love Cole. He's my dog. He's my guy. I love Diesel. That's my guy. Love the boys from Wire to Wire every afternoon from 3 to 7 here on the Fan Upstate. And I will say this as the second thing. I don't think I'm faster than either one of these cats, all right? I think they would both outrun me today. I have not done any sort of genuine, like, sprinting in a very long time. I've played some basketball, but I'm not a runner in basketball. Played some soccer, not a runner in soccer. I'm a goalie. I'm a big man at the five. I don't run.
All right. All of us in our prime, I outrun every single one of you.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I do.
No, you don't.
Without a doubt.
What's your best 40?
A 4.9.
Yeah, but it could have been faster.
I know, and I'm going to beat you just out of sure adrenaline.
No.
Yeah, for sure.
No, you're not.
Because there's no way you're
beating
me. No,
you're not. You were an offensive lineman, dog. I was a wide receiver.
So?
You weren't beating me at your best.
Really, Rob.
At your best. Not faster than me. You'd have beat my ass, but you wouldn't outrun me.
By the way, you just pointed out you were a tenth of a second faster than me, and you're a wide receiver.
You said a 4.9 what?
A 4.9.
Yeah, it was a 4.84. That's the difference.
Okay, not even a tenth of a second. All right, so...
That's faster.
Yeah, it is faster.
You're not outrunning me.
You're missing the point. You were a receiver, and I was a lineman.
Right.
And you barely are faster than me.
Still fat. What you said was you would outrun all of us in your prime. I'm telling you, no, you wouldn't.
What this means that on any given day, I would beat you some, you would beat me, but more than likely, I would beat you because of adrenaline and competitive spirit.
Yes, because we all know competitive spirit wins races.
It can get you a few tenths.
And you would have had it, and I wouldn't have. Because
without a doubt,
because you're a dog,
without
and I ain't
doubt,
got that dog.
Because I would have intimidated you before we ran.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you'd have been scared.
Yeah.
Then you'd be like, oh no, if I were to win, I might get them hands.
You're being that I could play in the NBA guy right now.
By the way, I know that there's no way to assimilate any of this stuff.
Okay,
I'm glad that those two guys ran, and the fact that Cole beat a guy who's like, what, 13, 14
no, wait,
years
wait, wait,
older
wait.
Than
no, 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 no. You're taking this somewhere. I gotta get to this. Cole. Steven just said, and I don't even know if he's listening right now. I'm saying this in hopes that he is. CB, if you're listening, I need you to call in. Because you got my man Steven in our Facebook chat right now, facebook.com/TheFanUpstate, TheFanUpstate on YouTube and Twitter, The Rob Brown Show on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch. Steven just said that Cole claimed a 5.240 on Friday. And I am here to say, as somebody who, again, loves Cole Bryson, absolutely not. There's no way in Hades Cole Bryson turned in a 5.240. There's no way. He said Diesel turned in a 5.9. I can accept a 5.9. I can accept a 5.9 from Diesel.
Diesel's built for distance, not for speed.
I can accept a 5.9. There's no world Cole Bryson ran a 5.2. No world. Now, I will tell you, I was working on Friday, so I didn't get to. Ordinarily, I listen to Wire to Wire for at least an hour a day. I'm sitting at the desk at the office.
I bet he's faster than that because they're running on pavement. They don't have.
He's not
cleats.
5'2".
He's probably faster than that for sure.
I don't care if he was running on concrete with the wind behind him. He's not running a 5.2. There were active linebackers in the NFL draft combine who didn't run a 5.2.
Do you think he was wearing an Arizona Cardinal jersey when he was running?
I don't care what he was wearing, how he was dressed, what the environment was. There's no word. And I say, again, with all the Taylor Swift heart hand emoji love in the world, there's no world he turned in a 5.2. Who timed this?
I'm guessing they timed each other.
Well, then I got to tell you.
I'm guessing that. I don't know, but I'm guessing.
I got to tell you, if my wife ever smartens up and divorces my ass and I'm back in the dating market, I'm taking Diesel with me as my wingman if he's out here letting Cole get away with a 5-2-40. There ain't no way. And again,
if they didn't run against each other, it's not the same. I mean, because if you're looking over and that guy's right next, you're going to find a little bit of something extra.
I'm going to drop it right now. Buddy, I don't care if Cole Bryson was wanting for a $1 million check. He didn't run a 5-2. There's no way. Listen, again, I say this with love and admiration for
Stephen
a young
brought
man.
Up a good point. The wind was blowing really hard Friday.
I don't care. I don't care if he was running in a hurricane that was all pushing behind
him. They're saying Rob Jones timed it.
I'm going to have to go get Rob Jones
Are you doubting Rob Jones?
Yep.
I mean,
yep.
Is he going to pick one over the other and make one a little bit faster than the other? I don't know.
There ain't no way. There ain't no damn way.
Rob were a cop, I could see him controlling the speed trap, though.
Ain't no way.
You know how fast you were going?
I am we talked about this cat last week. Bert Kreischer is a comedian. He's gotten very big the last couple of years. He's the comedian that told the story about being the machine, and he takes his shirt off when he does shows. If you've been on social media and that's in your algorithm at all, you know who Bert Kreischer is. He's gotten very big. Kreischer is very interesting because Bert Kreischer is this like big fat dude that if you saw him out in public, you'd be like, I could take that guy. Bert Kreischer did a couple of months ago a workout with the Philadelphia Eagles offensive line. Jason Kelce was there. And they put him on the bench press. And he was like, throw like 420 or some ridiculous ass number on the bar. And the boys on the Philly O-line were like, ain't no way. They made a bet with him. Like, here's the bet. Because some of the guys on that O-line have a podcast, right? They made a bet with him. They're like, if you can get this up, we will mention your pod on our pod every day for like a month. But if you can't, you got to mention our pod on your pod every day for a month. And Bert Kreischer was like, yeah, no worries. This dude took like 425 on the bar. Big fat guy. Bigger than me. And just boom. Like no problem. So I will happily acknowledge that there may be a little bit of that dog in Cole Bryson that is just like buried below the surface. I respect that. But there's no way he turned in a 5-2-40. It's just not a thing.
All right, you're hating. And the more you say there's no way, the more I believe in Cole Bryson. I just...
It is not hate. That's like me saying, I had a 42-inch vertical this weekend. No, I didn't. And you know I didn't. And calling that out is not hating. That's not a thing.
I don't even know how much. Well, I guess that would be like close to 4 feet.
Yeah, 42-inch vertical. I'm hitting my head on the rim.
Yeah, well,
I can't touch the rim anymore. I used to be able to dunk. Not anymore. No way. Jersey Joe is on the line. I am under the impression, Jersey Joe, that you were somehow affiliated with this alleged 5-2. Jersey Joe, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm sorry about that.
No, you're good. You're good. So you were somehow affiliated with this athletic competition?
I was there firsthand, in person, spectating.
And you're telling me, are you good with Cole claiming a 5-2-40?
Hey, your man Rob Jones had the stopwatch going, so it was all his word.
The only thing I'm questioning here is Rob Jones' ability to use a stopwatch. A 5-2?
But Cole did take his shirt off, though, so he was bare-chested when he ran.
I mean, listen, I respect
him. Wait, what? I don't want to see that, but...
I want video footage.
By the way...
All right? I want documentation.
Rob, we can get video footage. They did it outside. We got cameras outside.
I'm going to get it right now.
I mean, Chris can pull that footage. We can time it ourselves. As long as he stays in frame, we can find out if it was a real 5-2.
Joe, were you there or were you listening when it happened?
No, I was live and in person.
Okay. Was it a 5-2?
According to Rob Jones.
No, that's not what I asked you, Joe. Did you see a five? Did you see a guy and go, okay, he's threatening
what,
a five?
Do you expect Joe to have his stopwatch out, too? Is that what you expected?
No.
He's there to watch the show,
okay,
man.
I'm saying when I watch a dude, I can get close. I can go, that's not a five. That's not a 5-5. That's a six. I can watch, when Eisen runs, I can tell you, that's a six. You're telling me he outperformed Rich Eisen?
He had some good form. He had the arms pumping, everything.
April on the stream says they streamed it, so we could actually find it on the stream.
Oh, I'm literally looking at the Fan Upstage page right now. I am going back to Friday's show to find it.
Why are you offended? You should be like, yeah, one of our guys ran a 5-2. I mean, why does that bother you?
What bothers me, I think, is that he's claiming a 5-2. There's no way!
The youngest guy on the station runs the fastest. Woo, surprise.
5-2. Jersey Joe, there were guys playing linebacker at the combine that didn't turn in 5-2s. Cole Bryson put up NFL linebacker speed. That's what you're trying to tell me?
Yeah, I guess he did.
I'm going to find the video.
I tell you what, Diesel wasn't too far behind him.
According to Steven, Diesel ran a 5.9. That is a 7/10 of a second split. I believe Diesel's a 5.9. If you'd have told me Diesel and Cole both ran 5.7s, I would have accepted that. A 5.2 is... If Cole Bryson ran a 5-2, I'm saying this part I will say very sincerely, Joe. If Cole Bryson ran a 5-2, I will come back this afternoon and shake that man's hand because the athletic prowess would be off the charts. I love Cole. I don't believe it. Not for a second.
I do. I believe it. I believe he would have been faster if he had cleats on.
Then 5-2?
Yeah. I mean, it's going to make you faster if you got something to... I mean, they're running on pavement, right?
Right! That's why 5-2 is ridiculous. If he's running 5-2 on pavement and sneakers, he's running a 5-flat on grass in cleats. That's a lot. That's fast. That's very fast.
You're emotionally upset over this. I don't get it, dude.
Because, like...
It's one of our guys. Way to go, Cole!
Okay, cool. I ran a 4.7 this weekend.
Yeah, but you're lying.
No. I'm not. Wait. I'm one of your guys, Lonzo. You should be happy. Yeah, you should be like, hell yeah, Rob Brown.
No, but you don't have video proof and Joe on the line saying it happened.
That's right.
Okay. What Joe said was, that's what got said. Joe, do you believe Cole Bryson ran a 5-2-40?
What?
It's yes. Thank you so much.
No. Hold on. There's a little
silence
bit of there's a little bit of a delay between us getting to Joe. Don't take the hesitation as he was. It took him a second to hear it. That's all it was.
Joe, do you believe Cole ran a 5-2?
Yes, I do believe he did.
There we go.
Steven also just said he did it in Hey Dudes, not sneakers. He did it in boat shoes. Absolutely not. Absolutely, there's no way. Jersey Joe.
This sounds like this is about you.
Brother, I love
so
you.
Wow.
You're P1 in the Armada. You have earned a captaincy in the Armada. But I don't believe you.
I'm sorry, Rob.
I believe you, Joe. There's only one naysayer in this room.
I appreciate you, big. Go ahead.
No. I say, if you go back and look at the stream, you'll see me there firsthand in person.
What time on Friday did this happen?
Give or take about 4:25-ish.
About 4:25. All right, about an hour and 45 into the show. I am going to look at this during the break. I am going to run it through software functions. I'm going to see if I can get Olivia Benson and Ice Cube on the line to run it through the CSI filters. I am about to like science nerd in a way that has never been. So I am about to go out and measure the space in the parking lot so that I can compare it to the video footage. Cole, I love you like a brother. A 5-2 in Hey Dudes.
This ain't about you, Rob. Why are you offended, dude?
A 5-2.
Why are you offended?
Okay, I ran a 4.6. This weekend, dressed it up, went out on Saturday, ran a 4.6.
You're making yourself look bad right now. I don't.
Why?
I don't
Lonzo,
understand.
Why are you offended? You're supposed to be one of my guys. You're supposed to promote me. You're supposed to be like,
understand.
Good job.
There's no video proof of what you did. You're just saying this to counter what they actually did. And We got time after the show. You can go out and prove.
No, because I'll pop a hammy.
Well, okay, fine.
This ain't about me.
You know who didn't pop a hammy?
Apparently.
Cole or Diesel.
Apparently, Cole is going in the third round Bryson. That's listen.
He can be really fast, but you can't teach height. So he's not going anywhere.
I just pulled up their stream from Friday. It is buffering right now. And you know how like it puts the little caption up on the bottom of the screen? The caption that is on the bottom of the screen as this video buffers in is, "No, I have Hey Dudes on, which is not good." Hate 5'2 and Hey Dudes. If Cole Bryson did this, I will meet up and buy that man a not beer today.
Okay, and I'm sure he doesn't care either way because he knows he did it. Whether you believe it or not, it's irrelevant.
I ran a 4.8.
There's video proof. There's no video proof of you. There's video proof of him doing it.
Doesn't matter how you feel. I believe it. That's
video proof. So you are denying actual evidence.
I haven't seen it yet. I'm working on that right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because all our video has been known to buffer a really long time. Way to go, you!
Hang on, I'm.
Why don't you just introduce the Sports Flash?
Because I'm getting called out now, and you know.
Well, we don't have time for that. We could do it in the next hour.
Spinny buffering circle of death, right there. Sports Flash. Lonzo's going to do the Sports Flash in 5-2.
4-9. The Clemson Tiger baseball team finished off a 3-game sweep of the Carolina Gamecocks with an 8-2 victory yesterday in Columbia. Jaron Purify, whatever, was the only Tiger with multiple hits going 2-for-4. You all heard the meow, didn't you? With an RBI, but Clemson limited the Gamecocks to just 5 hits and 1 RBI. South Carolina drops to 9-3 on the season, while Clemson improves to 10-1. South Carolina women's basketball team claimed a share of the SEC regular season title with a 78-66 win over Kentucky yesterday. Tessa Johnson had 16 off the bench, while Tiana Papau led the starters with 13, and Chloe Kitts added 12 and 10 rebounds. Make sure you tune in this Saturday at 8 p.m. as the Furman Paladins take on the Samford Bulldogs in the first round of the SoCon basketball tournament. It's Furman versus Samford right here on your home for Furman Paladins basketball. The Fan. Upstate.
Kickstart your new year with a rewarding career at the HK Group. HK is the leader in heavy construction and contractor site materials with over 80 locations across Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. HK offers a wide range of opportunities, including heavy equipment operators, CDL drivers, mechanics, site supervisors, engineers, and project managers. 100% paid benefits designed to promote healthy living, financial stability, and career growth. The HK Group does not discriminate. Apply today at hkgroup.com. It's your future opportunity.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.